I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I.
Love lifted me.
Souls that songs, faithful loving service to him belongs.
Church. For those of you that I haven't met before, my name is Tim and I have the privilege of leading Lynx Christian Youth Trust. I'm here in the offices at the moment, but sadly, it's quite quiet. Lynx, for those of you that don't know, it's been around for about 20 years. We're a local schools ministry started by a number of local churches. Like I said, I think it was 1997, and ever since then it's grown from strength to strength, and we serve secondary schools across Torbay, trying to communicate the love of Jesus in relevant ways and to help young people with all sorts of things that life throws at them, whatever that might look like. I'm sure we've all got stories or memories from times when we were at school and maybe could have done with a bit more help, a bit more support, a bit more encouragement. And maybe for those of us that only came to faith in later years, wish that someone had communicated to us in a more understandable way or a relevant way who Jesus is and what the Bible is all about, and the hope that God offers to everyone. So that's something that we really love to do. We generally speaking go into schools and do all sorts of things, from RE lessons to health lessons, looking at relationships and self-esteem, to small groups talking about anxiety and worry and stress, or sleeplessness, through to mentoring, one-to-one support, working with young people. We do lunch clubs and after-school drop-ins and different activities. And for some of you, you'll know that normally we'll have just finished Elevate, which is our annual summer activities week, and so this week I would be slightly achy, sort of all over, quite tired, and although actually personally I would be at Creation Fest running a venue there, because I normally do that straight after Elevate. Bruce has been a legend for us over the years, driving his minibus and wearing his high-vis jacket. Myself and Jordan like to call him Brucey Baby. He's just brilliant, real servant-hearted guy, and we love having Bruce involved with Elevate Week, and he's always willing to help even when he probably shouldn't. He still puts himself into it and does those jobs that, you know, he looks tired sometimes, but he still does it, and does it with a smile. So thank you, Bruce. You are a star. But yeah, that's kind of links really normally speaking. But as we know, schools, not just schools, but everywhere really has been changed. We're in a strange season. And so links is quite the same. Like I say, it's really quiet here. I'm on my own in the office. The links team, Jordan, Charlie, Matt and Philip, they are on furlough. They've been on furlough now for, I think it's just over 2 months, and yeah, it's kind of sad in a way, to be honest. I miss seeing them. I miss working with them and praying with them. We have met a couple of times to chat and catch up and pray together for each other and for young people. But you know, we want to stick to the rules, and while they're on furlough, they can't come into work, they can't help with little bits that I've got to do. So myself and Chris, our administrator, who works in the mornings during the week, we get in touch over video conferencing. Maybe some of you have been using Zoom or Skype or FaceTime or whatever else there is out there. So we've been using Microsoft Teams to have a chat every Monday morning, email in, phone in now and again as well. And yeah, just sort of keeping things ticking over. Myself, I've been able to make some videos. It's a little bit like this. I've set myself up like a little studio in the office, or in my kitchen back at home. I've got a little corner that I'll do some filming in. And one of the schools has asked me to make some videos for them. So I've done some videos on the Holy Spirit. The importance of the Holy Spirit, the role of the Holy Spirit, and my personal experience and evidence for the Holy Spirit. So that was a great three-part series that I did. Each video is about 5 to 10 minutes long, and a bunch of year 10s over at Torquay Boys Grammar School have been using those as part of their GCSE curriculum, which is great. And in those videos, I was able to tell some great stories, testimony of what God has done in my life and the importance of the Holy Spirit. And where would we be without the Holy Spirit and that authority, that power, the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit in our lives. And I also did some two videos on afterlife. So that was a bit more of a theological sort of study on Christian views on the afterlife. So that's a great example for you guys that maybe want to know a bit more about links, is that when we talk in schools or send a video to schools, we try and communicate the breadth of the Christian view. So we don't always just bring Tim's view, my view, or Jordan's view, Charlie's view, Philip's view, Matt's view. We try and talk about what the church might view. And often within that, there is a diverse view. So we might say some Christians believe this, some Christians believe this, some Christians believe this, and we try and unpack it a little bit. Can get a little bit complicated, but we try and sort of keep it interactive and sort of stick to the basic points of the overall view. And I've also been asked by Cuthbert Main to do a number of devotional videos for the acts of worship, their assemblies. So during lockdown, myself and their chaplain Nathan Kiaga, great guy, have been doing, a couple of other people have been doing some devotionals. We went through the book of Mark from start to finish, taking a chapter at a time, and it was really great to be able to do a Bible study and to just pick out a couple of verses and tell some stories or try and communicate what the Bible might be teaching us through these verses. And it's been great to have feedback that they've been accessing those videos and they have been watching those videos, and questions have come off the back of those videos. So God is good. God is still doing things in the schools. And even though it's just me and not the whole team, you know, God is still at work and Links is still active amongst the school community. Please do pray for us as we go forward. The coming months are going to be interesting as schools go back, and it's going to be tricky because I'm not sure how much you know about the school structures now, but a lot of them are using this phrase bubbles. Bubbles are basically a group of people that can't mix with other people. So they're going to have a certain class or a certain year group or a certain teaching group that are always going to be together for all of their lessons, and they can't cross over. And some schools are doing staggered lunch times, and the lunch hall's getting cleaned in between each rotation. Other schools are doing everyone together, but you can only use certain parts of the building. Every school's different, so please do pray for the schools. I think the staff and the students have really got a tricky term ahead of them, but we know that prayer works, and we believe that God can do great things in those schools. But we also really want to connect with them still, so please do pray for creativity for us as a team, that the team will come back in September, and we're going to start to really think up what is it that we can do that can be effective. And we need to be in guidance with the schools as well, and because they're all different, that's going to be tricky to navigate how we do each school. We might not be able to go into some schools at all for the next term or so, but hopefully we'll be getting into all the schools again by Christmas or the new year. But overall, this, pray for young people. Pray that young people have a moment of revelation. Pray that young people, especially in this season, just call out on God. I don't know about you, but I've found that mortality, you know, life and death, has been much more kind of in your face over this last season. And it's being talked about a lot more than normal on the news, in the media. You know, death rate has become a common phrase that's used, but normally that's just not talked about. So for young people, for children, death rate and mortality is something you don't really think about when you're young. You know, carefree and you know, just take risks. So I guess I would pray that young people don't lose that ability to take risks. We need young people to take risks as they move into that adult life, because that's how change happens. That's how new things and new seasons come. And so I pray that they would be protected from that anxiety or that worry that might stop them from being a bit more adventurous. And that within that, they also take the risk of, God, are you real? God, are you out there? And that they call on God and find him. So join me in that prayer and pray for young people. Maybe you can picture a certain young person you know. Maybe they're related to you. Maybe they live on your street. Maybe you pass a certain group of young people normally on your way to work or on their way to school. Or you go past the bus stop and you see a group of kids for Talkie Academy or Spires or wherever it might be, and you can pray, Lord, those kids that I normally see at that bus stop, wherever they live, bless them now, reveal yourself to them powerfully today. So thanks for having me with you today. I'll be sharing a message in a few moments time.
Jesus.
Hey Willows Church. So for today, I was praying this week and yeah, just had a sense that God wanted me to speak on Psalm 1 for you guys, and we'll just dive into it and see what God has to say. Before I start, I'm just going to pray to help me focus. So pray with me, and hopefully the Holy Spirit, even though this is a few days before you're seeing it, I believe that God is above time and is with me now and is with you now as you watch this. So let's pray together and prepare our hearts for the word. Father God, I pray that you would speak to us in this moment. Lord, I pray that you would guide my words by your Holy Spirit. Would you reveal things in my own heart and mind, through my own life and through your word and your scripture for Willows Church today, that as they listen to this message, they would hear from you and they would be encouraged and maybe challenged as well. And in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so like I say, I'll just dive straight into Psalm 1. If you've got a Bible with you, it's the first one in Psalms, right in the middle. And I think it really sets the tone for the whole book of Psalms. We get a taste of the kind of writing that we find throughout Psalms in this short 6-verse psalm. So here we go. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law, or the instruction of the Lord, and who meditate on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. For whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. So like I say, I really feel that this psalm sets the tone. It's got that lovely sense of, you know, God and God's amazing, the love of the law. We see that a lot throughout the Old Testament, but especially in the Psalms, we find it again and again about obeying the law or meditating on the law, dwelling with the law. But then it also has that sort of, you know, sharp edge to it. Not so the wicked, chaff that the wind blows away. And so there is some warning in there as well. But yeah, let's have a look. So when I read this psalm, the first verse kind of really resonates with my own story, of coming to faith and really walking in faith and making that decision. And over the years of ministry, I've been in ministry now for 21 years now, mainly youth work, but also multi-generational work in churches, in the community, just different outreaches, festivals, things like that. And chatting to many people of either new Christians or people who have been Christians for a long time, I think this really resonates, because to me it talks about the inability for us to live a double life. You see, when I was about 16 or 15, 16 through to the age of 18, I lived not just a double life, but a triple life. It was stressful. I'd been raised in the church, sort of walked away from that when I was about 12 or 13. And it was only, funnily enough, through my now wife, I fell in love with a girl when I was 14 years old, and her parents got to go to a different church. So I started going to that church for some reason. And we started going out on and off over the years. Now we're married. Great story. Don't have time for that now. But I came back to faith for a number of ways. But in that time, I'd fallen in love with basketball as well. Basketball is my sport. I've run a basketball club at Torquay Academy for the last 8 years. I still love it as a sport. But when I was a teenager, I got very into that world. and the culture that was around it. And so, to be really honest, you know, my language was appalling when I was on the basketball court. Everything was quite sexualized. So a lot of sports, sadly, there's quite a lot of sexualized conversation and crude humor. It's just sadly part of that culture. Some people more are standing against that now, which is great. But that really affected me, and I took that on. So that was one part of me. I'd come back to faith, and I was more engaged in youth and church, and I was starting to help lead groups and things. And by the grace of God, God was still using me and was growing me in my personal spiritual gifts. And I started to speak a little bit at youth events and things like that. I played in the worship band. But I had a third life as well, where the night of my last GCSE exam, I started working in one of the biggest, basically a big pub or nightclub in the middle of Preston, Lancashire. And I worked there all the way through college. So every Friday and Saturday and some Thursdays and some even Sunday nights, I would work till 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning. And again, the culture that got me into, the world that got me into at quite a young age, of drugs and alcohol and relationships was really unhealthy and was another world that I was in. And after a year or so of it, I could really see the impact that it was having on me and on my mental health, my emotional health, and my spiritual health, obviously. My leaders at church were getting worried about me. I was always tired, and I would go missing because I was actually working in nightclubs or going out with people that I've met through that world, or I'd have basketball matches and I'd be going to do something else. And my language, I would have to always be really thinking about what words do I use here and do I not use here. And I kind of went a little bit mad, and I'm so thankful that God pulled me out of that. When I was 18, God basically didn't give me an ultimatum, but I kind of gave myself one, because my college was saying you should go to university, you've got enough grades to go to uni. But I knew in my heart of hearts, basically the heart of this passage was that I couldn't carry on like this. I would be like that chaff that the wind blows away. Because I knew that if I went to uni, for me, I wasn't strong enough. In my character, I wasn't strong enough. My discipline wasn't there. And if I went to uni, I would probably have walked away from faith and got into all sorts of trouble. And so I went on a gap year, a Christian retreat centre in the middle of nowhere, spent 3 months in Wales and the rest of the year near Northampton in the countryside, doing outdoor pursuits and discipleship. And I'm so glad that I felt in the moment that I was missing out on all those things that I would normally fill my time with. But I realized that I was walking in step with the wicked, that I, you know, was sitting in the company of mockers. My conversation wasn't of God, wasn't of someone that would be seen as righteous. I certainly didn't meditate on the door on the Lord day and night. And I think for some people of any age, that can be similar when maybe we go to work or we spend time with that certain friend, or even sometimes when we spend time on our own, it can bring out the worst in us, that we don't have that discipline in place. We don't have that routine of meditating on his law day and night. I think in this modern age, especially in the West, we get fearful about verses like that, meditating on a law day and night. It sounds legalistic. It sounds rules driven. But that's not the intention of the Old Testament when it talks about the law. The law to those people, the Israel nation, the Jewish people, was something that they felt God had personally given them to live by. It was a great framework to live within. I don't know whether you know about some churches or monastic movements have something called the rule of life, or a rule of life. The Benedictine monks had a rule to live by. Currently, Justin Welby's monastic movement in Lambeth Palace, called the St Anselm movement, have a rule, the rule of St Anselm. And we see the word rule or hear the word rule and we think, oh, it's legalism. It's not for us. We live in freedom. We're free from rules. We're free from the law. But actually, the intention, the original narrative and meaning of the rule in ancient language is more like a trellis. So if you hear the phrase rule of life, rather than seeing it as do this, don't do this, it's more of a trellis. And if you picture a trellis, it's a structure that the vine can grow through. And I love that. I really love that. And it's something that has helped me feel free to put in certain rules in place in my life without feeling like I'm being constrained or bound by them. But it gives me a framework that I can grow in, and I can really grow and become more as I move and grow in the Spirit of God, and in the freedom of God, because his trellis is pretty big. He is the vine and we are the branches. You know, there's lots of metaphor you can use with that. But I love the challenge that this passage brings to us. I love the way that it talks in that verse in the middle, verse 3. It's a verse that's been really special to me, especially in my youth work here in Torbay. About 3 or 4 years ago, I had a bit of a vision that Christian young people would be like that verse, that they would be the trees that are planted by the stream, that they yield fruit in season, and that they provide shelter because their leaf doesn't wither, and whatever they do prospers. I love the thought of young people especially, but all people, you people at Willows Church, I love the thought of you being like that tree planted by the stream that is fruitful in season, that knows God's provision, and that people come to you because you are fruitful. How amazing would it be if every church across Torbay, across Devon, across our country, had tons of people planted like that, that were able to resist the temptation of living a double or even triple life, and that they would actually meditate on the law, the rule, the trellis, focus on God's ways, his personal prescriptive way of living the best life in our everyday lives, and what that would look like. What an incredible vineyard that would look like, stretched out across our community, stretched out down your street, through your family, in your workplace, wherever it is you spend your time, that trellis would allow you to grow bigger and to have more influence for the glory of God. I love that. There is a warning in this passage that we, you know, that we must notice, that we, if we do live like that, the double life, you know, we'll be blown away. You know, maybe we'll lose our identity a little bit, that character that God intends for us. Verse 5 is a little bit scary, if I'm honest. You know, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. I don't like to think of myself as righteous, only that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ. Not what I do makes me righteous, but I know that his righteousness becomes mine when I submit to him and put him first in my life. So if you're able to put Christ first, to live for him, you are made righteous. You are made perfect. Even in our imperfections, we can somehow be perfect. It's that strange oxymoron, you know, the little giant, that we can become in the kingdom of God. I absolutely love it that God makes all things possible. You know, in a Mark, I think it's Mark 6, you know, Jesus says, with man these things are not possible, but through God, all things are made possible. And I really believe that, you know, that whatever we see in ourselves, for good or for bad, it's only through him, through Jesus, that we are able to stand confidently when we read verses like that and not be insecure that, oh, am I like the wicked? Am I going to be blown away like chaff? Chaff's a strange word, isn't it? It's not really a word that we use much these days. But I think it's something that we should, like I say, definitely take notice of. And then that last verse, the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Like I said right at the start, I think my story is testimony to that. I'm confident that the way of the wicked for me, I'm not saying university is bad, it's brilliant. I'm actually studying now, to doing a degree part-time. But the way of the wicked for me would have been going away to uni and living a crazy student life, and I know it would have led to my destruction. What that looked like, I don't know, but I'm fairly confident that God said, you need to come away with me. Come with me, Tim. Come and learn my voice. And that's what I found myself doing in that year and in the years to follow, was that he watched over me because I chose Jesus. I put him first. And again, it sounds like I'm boasting. I'm not at all. But it's him that made me righteous. It's Jesus that made me righteous. And so I knew that he was watching over me, if that makes sense. So I hope that you feel encouraged. I hope that you feel challenged. Maybe let's ask God, what is it in our lives at the moment that maybe make us feel a bit like we're walking in step with the wicked, or we're, you know, standing in the way that sinners take. Again, it's a strange phrase, but basically doing the thing that sinners might do, or sitting in the company of mockers. You know, I don't know about you, but man, there's been a lot of chat going on, hasn't there? You know, should we wear masks? Should we not wear masks? Should kids come back to school? Should they not? Should people be furloughed? Should they not? You know, is Boris doing a good job? Is he not? Oh man, you know, protests. Should people protest? Should they not? Statues, do they matter? Do they not? Suddenly everyone becomes an expert in economy and welfare and, you know, I don't know, all sorts of different subjects, and it's dangerous, isn't it? And I think that's what this is talking about again, that we should be the people that speak good news, that speak kindly of others and offer grace, just like God has done to us. So there you go, Psalm 1. I hope you are encouraged by that. I hope you are challenged by that. And maybe read it over. It's only 6 verses. Just read it over 2 or 3 times. Ask God each time, Lord, reveal a certain phrase to me in this psalm. Lord, reveal something to me. Point something out to me. And maybe let's go the next step and say, Lord, who should I share this with? You know, is there a certain verse in here that I should send to my brother or my friend or my mum? You know, is there a verse in there that you think will be encouraging? Maybe not, you know, pointing the finger and calling them a sinner, but something that will encourage them, something that will just communicate the love of God through his own word and a simple text or a phone call or even a good old fashioned letter. Who knows? We all love getting things in the post, don't we? So, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us now, that by your Spirit, we would know your voice, that we would be challenged, that we would be encouraged, but ultimately by your Spirit, we would be continually transformed by your grace. Amen. I hope you're all taking care. I hope you're all well. And I do pray, Willows Church, Lord, would you bless Willows Church, Lord? Would you watch over them, protect them, and help them to be fruitful? Help Willows Community Church to be that tree planted by the stream, fruitful in season, whose leaf doesn't wither, and that they will prosper in what they do. Amen. You take care, everyone, and I hope to see you soon.
make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Lord, bless you.
The Lord turn his face toward you
and give you peace.
From heaven, this isn't second guessing. We know that we are protected. May the peace that surpasses all understanding be our message. Grace and favors in your nature, in your essence.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations,
and your family, and your children,
and the children, and the children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children.